Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is called practical politics because it is non-voting, which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is, of course, rule-based politics, which is what you do at the voting booth. It's very, very rule-based and timeline-based, you know, every 4 years, every 2 years, so on and so forth. And full-spectrum practical politics is engaging and taking out an opponent or a system or a corporation, so on and so forth, by any means necessary under the rules or under the laws, but never breaking the rules or never breaking the laws. But to understand anything, we first have to teach you practical politics, which is non-voting politics. The first basics are the art of staying on point or using a talking point and being able to say it over and over again to make your point, not arguing, just making a point. But this is an introduction again to Follow the White Rabbit, and Follow the White Rabbit is a game that will teach you practical politics. 16, we're going to do some question and answers I basically got asked a bunch of questions via email. I can't really respond to them all, so I figured I'd do some brief answers, and I thought maybe everyone else might like to hear them because you're getting a lot of different questions down the same path. Not in regards to practical politics. A lot of people get what I'm trying to say in regards to talking points and whatnot. In 17, which will be out, this should be out Friday, October 9th, 17 will be out within a few days afterwards, and that will be back into practical politics. That will be back into, that will go into baseline humiliation tactics and techniques. And that will tie in everything together, and be a little more offensive. It's simple, but you'll have to listen to it to get the whole gist. But in this one, we're going to do questions and answers, it will be some practical politics. In the end, I'll go over Il Duce, and I'm going to go through and talk about why the Democratic Party can never be the party of the future. I'm going to talk about some interesting things, some tidbits, some stuff I've been asked, emails I've gotten. But in this, I'm going to overview a current news event, which is still ongoing. That's obviously the case with Iran. We're marching toward war. I don't know if, you know, it's really not if, but when. We've had a lot of new information come out on Russia. Russia scientists are there, according to Strat4. I don't know if it's propaganda for Anglo elites or whatever, but Strat4 put out that the Russian had a lot more scientists there than anyone knew about, and that sped up Iran's ability to make bombs, as well as that's why the Israelis snuck off, Benjamin Netanyahu snuck off to speak to Russia to confront them about that. But it's simple. It's kind of a what you see is what you get. If Russia backs sanctions with different European parties, you know Russia's falling in line and is going to play the game with us. If Russia sticks on the other side, and then by default China will stick on the other side. If Russia blocks sanctions, we're not going to war. It's going to be like Helter Skelter type war or something, something earth-changing. Whereas, you know, I see war, whether we go into sanctions or not, I see war as inevitable. But if Russia backs us with sanctions in the UN, and then China will back sanctions, because if Russia backs sanctions, China probably will, and then it'll probably be pretty wild. But if it goes the other route, then it's going to be like Helter Skelter, in my view. Now, when is this supposed to happen? I don't know if it's in a few weeks or what, but I do know that there's some kind of drill going on. There's a U.S. naval drill with the Israelis. In a few weeks, I'm guessing it's sometime in October, and I don't know if it's a drill or if it's going to be the real deal. I don't know if this is going to happen this month, like I said before, or next year, but, it's shaping up. And of course, pushing for the war of Zionist elements among the Anglo elites. You got the Zionists at the churches, which are heavily programmed, and they don't know any better. You have their handlers, which are basically Jewish supremacists, or Israeli supremacists, or whatever you want to call them. Dr. Duke calls them Jewish supremacists, and then you have their what I would label the cabal, the cabal that is the Pink Rabbit Banksters and the Pink Rabbit Pink Rabbit Elitesters. And the Elitesters and the Banksters among the Pink Rabbits have themselves in trouble in Anglosphere. They're pinned in North America, and they're pinned in London, as far as I'm concerned. And they have some outlets elsewhere. You know, they do have colleagues in the Arab world, and they do have colleagues in the East, but they got themselves in trouble. After September 11th, they went into the Middle East because they have to secure their oil. Why? Because they operate off conflict and scarcity. And they got a petrodollar. Now they got their troops pinned down there, which means by default, as an American, I got my troops pinned down there. But someone put an opening salvo against them. A big opening salvo. And we're going to see this through... We're going to see this, you know, play its course. And again, the red hippo, you know, I like to compare him. People ask me his nature. The nature of Set and Chaos and the red hippo is really no different than Sauron in the Lord of the Rings. Sauron has to rule Middle Earth. If he can't rule the world, if he can't rule Middle Earth, well, he's going to go to war until he gets killed and he gets put down, or he takes over the world. Now, obviously, wanting to rule the world is very unnatural. That's the definition of evil, unnatural. But that's the red hippo. And that's what you're seeing right in front of your face. You know, when is it going to happen? I don't know. It's sooner rather than later, and I don't really know what all they're doing to prepare. And we got some different elements, some different... there's always facts coming in, facts going out. But right now, we'll go into some questions and answers.
I got asked a comment, I got asked a question, and I'm going to answer the question at the end. But to answer the question, I'm going to read something. And this first piece is called Political Correctness Hypnosis, and this is interesting stuff. At least half of the environmental disasters today are not the result of greed. They come from environmental idealism. This is recorded but never mentioned in the endless string of documentaries. How many times have you seen a documentary saying that some animal had gotten out of hand and it was originally imported to take care of some other imbalance? But the documentary makers do not notice this. They never say, once again, this animal which has gone out of control was introduced to take care of an environmental problem is creating a far worse one. The usual explanation for this is that it is a conspiracy. The learned elders of Zion call each other up. We won't say again. The conspiracy ideal is plausible to those who feel that people in high places must know how stupid they are being. If you get on the inside, you realize that no one gets to the top inside the system unless they think like everybody else in the system does. All established religions select those who are hypnotically repetitious, and those who are talented psychopaths, who are able to fake being hypnotically repetitious. One example stands out in my mind, but you would have had to be there to be as impressed as I was. My cover was a tourist trip across a communist border roughly 40 years ago. Among tourists was a real hippie couple. They had their hippie uniform, beads and such. I wondered how people who carried the Viet Cong flag in parades and lauded communists would react to what the few tourists too poor to afford planes always saw. The dugout area or wall, the men with automatic weapons, the skull and crossbones sign, their international sign of landmines, and the warnings that anyone who tries to escape the workers' paradise will be shot on sight. I wondered what the reaction would be. There wasn't one. Both hippies went into a trance, a real trance. They looked straight ahead. They did not see the ditch, the landmine warnings, and the machine guns. If you had been there, you would be as intrigued as I was. They didn't see it. What he's saying is they didn't see the fact that they had to keep a wall and a ditch and landmines there to keep you into the country, to keep you from leaving the workers' paradise. The reason the endless cycle of environmental disasters caused by environmentalists is not mentioned in documentaries is because the documentary makers genuinely do not see them. Successful documentary makers have no odor of heresy on them. An established religion can identify someone who is not a true thinker without even noticing it. There are millions of competing faiths battling to become the established religion. The one that wins out develops the ability to weed out potential heresy. Every established religion has always required this form of hypnosis in people who, after all, are merely parts of its mechanism. This is why using the mantra is such a useful introduction to reality. When you use the mantra, they don't hear you. They go into that trance. And as an introduction to reality, you need to see that trance in action. And he goes on to say, this one response is amazing, and I'm stealing this. Everything I'm reading to you, I'm stealing. Dave, on political correctness hypnosis. I wish there was some way I could snap my fingers and magically make other people understand the importance of and the implications of what BW is saying or Bob Whitaker is saying in this post. Even among our readers, I doubt there are a few who really get it. I was fascinated by hypnosis. I read everything about hypnosis I could get my hands on. I wanted to know the hypnosis secret. But I never really got a handle on it until the great Keskin gave away the hypnosis secret and testimony he gave at the murder trial in Spokane, Washington. He was an expert witness, and his purpose was to try to convince an idiot judge how completely bogus it is to admit testimony obtained from a witness under the influence of hypnosis. Kreskin explained that there was no way such testimony could be reliable because there was no such thing as the hypnotic state. Kreskin explained to the judge that the hypnotist's secret was all a con. You simply have to understand the immense susceptibility most people have to the power of suggestion. People have low capacity for apprehending reality accurately. They can easily be tricked into believing anything. There I had it, the secret. Nowadays, I just love watching hypnotist stage show. I never miss an opportunity. These shows are wonderful lessons in real politics. I have come to realize that most of what people say they know about what is real is just influence of suggestions they have received and are repeating. Also, I hardly ever believe people when they relate events from their past. Very few people are capable of relating their past accurately. They simply believe they have experienced things that have never happened, and once more, they really and truly believe it. There is nothing that can be done about this aspect of human life, but if you are a real player, you have to be keenly aware of it. People are a lot less connected to reality than you think. Society's perceptions are not to be trusted. This is a wonderful post by Bob. It is truly extraordinary. I hope our readers get its importance. Getting stuff like this is what makes you a player. It is what puts you in power. And I was asked a question. Is using these talking points and is using these mantras, aren't we inducing a consensus trance? Well, in the first MP3 I told you, your objective is generally to develop moral authority. And the talking points and the mantra especially is developed to do that. And to answer your question shortly, I'll give you Bob's answer. This is why using the mantra is such a useful introduction to reality. When you use the mantra, they don't hear you. They go into that trance. And as an introduction to reality, you need to see that trance in action. Every single person listening to this has probably been in front of a general or a coach, and you've had them give a pretty good speech to motivate you. You may not be able to remember it, but generally maybe some of you have some chill coming over you. You know, when you think of that general speech, or when you think of that maybe that famous coach in America, Newt Rockne, in one of his speeches, or some famous football coach you had in Europe that give you that speech. Well, that speech is developing some kind of a trance in you. They're motivating you to get out on that field. It's not the same as the type of consensus trance I was talking about in the early shows, the type of fear-based trance. If you're in a war and you're worried about someone shooting at you, those are fear-based trance. Those are tunnel visions, but they are designed to induce a consensus trance. So to answer your question, yes. Anytime you have moral authority over rabbits, you're developing that on some level. Obama developed this on some level. Now, he didn't do the speech, and he didn't do anything but stand up and give it, but he gave it good enough to develop that, and the lighting and everything else. But there are different elements of consensus trance. These aren't, obviously, the talking points and the mantras aren't, they're not going to be afraid of you. They're going to be coming to eat your carrots. But to answer your question, yes. Yes. Like Bob says, when you use the mantra, they don't hear you, they go into that trance. Normally, I wouldn't give Bob credit for writing that, but since I tell you to steal, I'll steal it and do it for the show. Why not? But yes, to answer your question, yes, affirmative. And that is the whole point. A listener has emailed me, and I think it's a she. She says she always does that. In your opinion, you're an anti-Semite. In your opinion, I'm an anti-Semite. I'm sorry. She says, in your opinion, I'm an anti-Semite. You just say that because I'm a Gentile. Anytime a Gentile takes an opinion opposite to a Jewish supremacist, they say they yell anti-Semitism. You know, in your opinion, I'm an anti-Semite. You're just saying it because I'm a Gentile. In your opinion. She says she's got several different people now doing it now. I don't even know if they may realize what they're doing, but it's powerful stuff. It is extremely useful. I got sent a very comical email talking about how the Democratic Party was the future of America and the future of the world, yada, yada, yada. But let me tell you something. Let me give you a what you see is what you get. This is right in front of your face. The future of anything is going to be derived in the present tense from its media. The present tense of the liberal media is broke. The reason liberal media is broke, late liberal 21st century, or early 21st century late liberal, what I label late liberal democratic media, the reason it's totally broke is because it's multiracial. You see, the liberal media is segmented. It's segmented among the white liberals, and they're broke because they got to have their Tontos. You know, Lone Ranger has to have his Tontos, and Tonto is very, very expensive. There's another group that has their own media, the Africans, the African liberal media. You know, they're all over the place, but that's also broke. There's another group that has its media, the Hispanics. Of course, the Hispanics in America, their media is pretty much broke too. They have the appearance of having money simply because the white Hispanics in South America, they feed off of them. And they own part of their media. But in general, if you look at the liberal media, it's broke. And the reason it's broke is the same reason the Republican media, or what you see as the so-called conservative media, is very wealthy. Fox News is very, very wealthy. The political cesspool, they may not be rolling in money, but they're still alive and kicking and growing. The reason? They're homogenous. The more homogenous you are, the better off you are. I'm going to repeat that. The more homogenous you are, the better off you are. The Democratic Party will never be the party of the future because they're too fractured. They're broke. They're broke right down the line, just like their media. You can't maintain a multiracial country any more than you can maintain a multiracial media. Why? You go broke. There's no future in it. The Fox News, as much as I hate the Fox News, is not broke because they're homogenous white. The political cesspool is growing because it's homogenous white, and people love hearing it because it's legitimate conservative. Now, if I could only get James Edwards on Fox News for 8 hours a day, or forget that, run him 24 hours a day, we could probably straighten something out, right? That's just common sense. But when you say the Democratic Party is the future, no. The Democratic Party is just like its media, broke. You just don't realize it. Just like the media didn't realize it until it was over. Until the newspapers were all broke, until everyone was looking for money. That's what happens in multiracial countries. And if America could get rid of its third world population, its speckly and brown and mixed populations, America would go back to being homogenous and having a homogenous European standard of living. We'd go back to having a Western standard of living, right? And the border problem, the border problem would still exist, but in a little bit different area, you know. If all white Americans moved to Mexico, the border problem would move south instead of north. But that's reality. That's a what you see is what you get. So when you say the Democratic Party is the future, the multiracial stuff is a part, no. They're too broke. All you have to do is look at the media and look at how broke they are. All the Democratic media people complain. They complain that the Republicans best them, and the Republican media is not that good. Yeah, Fox News sucks. Political cesspool is gaining ground on all these people, and the different groups like political cesspool. One of the reasons political cesspool is doing good with me because they're on a consistent message. And they're always going to get promoted if you're on a consistent message, one way or shape or form. But the reason Fox News and the reason Republican media is doing good is the same reason Republicans will eventually do good. Especially when they kick out the neocons and everything like them, all the pink rabbits that look like us that have no loyalty to us. And the same reason that the Republican media and the political cesspool style medias are doing extremely well, whether it be online or on cable, is the same reason the liberal media is broke. The Republican media is homogenous. The liberal media is multiracial, fractured, and multicultural, and that is a recipe for disaster. If you look around the world and you see multicultural, multiracial countries, they're always poor. If you look around the world and you see homogenous East Asian or homogenous European, the more homogenous you get, the wealthier it gets. It doesn't matter whether it's the media in America, whether you're analyzing Fox News compared to some liberal media that just went under or some liberal newspaper that went under. That's just the trend. It's right in front of your face. It's what you see is what you get. So don't email me saying the Democratic Party is some party of the future. They're broke. They're on their last legs, which is why the fight for the Republican Party is so important, which is why the pressure, the neocons are in such trouble. Yeah, they can't exist. Pink rabbits can't support white rabbits at 10% of the Earth's population or less. It just doesn't work that way. Any more than they're going to get to run Russia. It doesn't work that way. A tribal world is a beautiful world. Get used to it. There's a character that apparently doesn't like our MP3s, and although he doesn't like them, he listens to them, and he writes complaining about them about every day. And he's done something pretty amazing, though. He's called me a name I've never been called, and someone like me has been called every name in the book. Someone like Mr. Whitaker has been called every name in the book, but there's one name he's called me. That I've never been called, so I kind of have to answer the email now. It's kind of funny, because now I have something up on everyone in my group, because it's pretty difficult to get called this name if you're something like us. So it's kind of entertaining, obviously it's a little dysfunctional. If you don't like a free MP3, you probably shouldn't listen to them. Listening to them and spending, which take an hour to listen to and then some, and then spending 20 minutes to write the person on email is kind of dysfunctional, to say the least. But since he's called me a name I've never been called, it's pretty hard to do. I figured I would answer him. He seems a little dysfunctional, and his name is Gringo. I don't know if he's a gringo. I think he might be a speckly brown rabbit or something, fascinated with white rabbits. They're out there. And the name he calls me, of course, is the leadoff. Suck, 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 you little Jew parasite. Well, I've never been called a Jew parasite, so I figured I have to answer this guy, and I'll have to print out this email because no one will believe it, and then I'll have something one up on everyone, even old Bob. You spread Israeli lies about the USS Liberty. You take the Israeli explanation over the words of your very own USS Liberty sailors. I never remember doing that. Dumb mother effer you are. Kind of how you spout Jew media lies about 9/11. Don't remember that either. Over actual firefighters' words and the basics physics involved. I'm not an expert on those events. If you want to go to davidduke.com, you can read about all the interesting tidbits, fact from fiction and all that other kind of stuff. I'm not an expert on 9/11 or any of that stuff. That's what I was talking about. And I'll go into this more in your next question. You continue to paint others with an ignorant version of conspiracy theory, while continuing to spread lies regarding Holocaust conspiracy theory. Well, what I said, Gringo, was peas in a pod don't have to conspire. And let me explain this to you. Something that was very difficult for me to understand at one time. You see, when the neocons lied us into war, they don't think they're doing anything wrong. If you do business with a pink rabbit and he rips you off, they're oblivious to it. When a Foxman is sitting on TV acting totally insane, he's oblivious to it. They are oblivious to their own conduct. They really are. They're in a consensus trance and a hive behavior, and they are wild and crazy. So when the neocons did all that, it's not a conspiracy to them. It's just their natural. It's their natural conduct. And let me explain it to you like this in normal rabbit behavior, non-pink rabbit behavior. When you go to lunchroom in the school I went to, you'd have the white rabbit sitting at one part. You would have the black rabbits in one part, the Mexican rabbits in another part, so on and so forth.
it's not that they're conspiring to separate themselves. It just comes naturally. But there's a lot of times when white rabbits, little white rabbits sitting in a lunchroom, they say, well, it's a racial conspiracy. The whites are separating themselves. They always pull that stuff, but it's not a conspiracy. It's just the way they act. It's their natural. Now, that's natural instincts. But what you need to understand about pink rabbits, or what I had problems understanding, is when it comes like neocons, they're oblivious to what they're doing. They don't really get it. And you'll find that out one way or another, but that's what I mean by peas in a pod don't have to conspire. And as far as the laws, Holocaust conspiracy theory, what I said was, you know, when you get into revisionist history, that's another channel. I don't get into revisionist history, but I like David Duke's response that he gave when he got out of Czech Republic, so I'll steal his and give him credit. Although I take no specific position on the tragedy called the Holocaust, and although I did not come to Czech Republic to lecture on this issue, I do believe that as human rights outrage and academics in some places in Europe have been imprisoned, prosecuted for simply researching and questioning some aspects of the Holocaust, or other historical aspects of the Second World War. Millions more Europeans were murdered by Bolshevism. So why is 99% of the media attention on Jewish losses in the Second World War? Why we hear almost nothing about tens of millions of Christian victims? Thousands of movies, plays, and documents are shown about the Holocaust, but zero about the whole Holodomor, the Ukrainian genocide, for instance. Am I wrong to think that the media and the political agents of Zionist Israel need Holocaust media to keep attention off Israel's terror, expulsion, torture, murder, theft against Palestinians? Today, a multimedia Holocaust is used as a weapon of mass destruction against Palestinians, Iraqis, Syrian, Iranians, and anyone who is enemy of Zionist Jewish supremacist state of Israel. That's David Duke's official position. I think it's okay, but what I did was I made two points. One, historical revisionism is going on all over the world. It doesn't matter if you're in China. There are historical revisionists going on. Two, the only ones in jail are the Holocaust revisionism. Three, I made the point that the Muslims are making. Anytime any government, king, potentate anywhere makes it illegal to dispute a fact, that fact has always proven to be untrue on some level. People are going to have problems with that fact. People are going to have problems with it. It doesn't matter what 10% of the population wants that's European. People are going to, if you go flat earth, 90% of the planet is going to have problems with flat earth. You start throwing, you know, you got to open a free society in Germany, and you're throwing people in jail for writing books about revisionist history, one area of the revisionist history known as Holocaust revisionism, but you're not throwing people in jail for pedophilia or for saying Muhammad's a pedophile. People on the planet are going to find a problem with that. Forget about the 90% of Europeans. I'm going to toe the party line because I don't want to go to jail. And I'm not an expert on revisionist history, so I think those are two. I think I made that point, but I'll give you David Duke's explanation. And I sit nearer here than there. I'm not an expert. There's a whole channel coming out on TV on conspiracy theories. But what I view is that peas in a pod do not have to conspire. And when you're dealing with neocons, I don't care if you're doing business with them in corporate America. They will rip you off and be oblivious to what they're doing. It's their nature. They go into that consensus trance and it's over with. Now your third question. You spread lies about Israel as a large arms exporter. They are. There are. How stupid are you? They are not even the top 10. Well, you're looking at old statistics. They are in the top 10 now. What I was talking about is if you get a subscription like Jane's Defense or something like that, you'll see different grids for different components. And Israel does have the upper hand in some of the different components. I don't know if they're in the top 5 or the top 3, but for instance, right now there are certain types of drone planes, and Israel makes components for those, and they're exporting these drone planes to the Russians. Now, you could say you say it's a parasite nation sucks off America. You're right. Israel can't do anything for themselves without the USA. Well, they can design some weapons. Now, whether or not they, you know, you could say whatever, they hijacked that from us or whatever. I don't know, but they do have some white rabbits there, and they do some smart stuff. They're a criminal state that is in violation of more UN resolutions than any country on earth. Well, that's actually true. You try to spout S about international laws. My job is not to spout anything about international laws. I'm just simply giving you facts. Someone on my team will know all about international laws and this particular area that we're in, my little compartment. The attempted genocide against the indigenous white rabbits of Europe. When you start talking about the UN resolutions, you've never seen one thing work in your lifetime against Israel on that route. It may someday, but that's well after the fact. And as far as that goes, you're right. There's all kinds of UN resolutions against Israel. But again, if you have a country that keeps on violating international law and violating international law, it creates a problem, doesn't it? It gets a reaction. So they keep doing what they're doing, but you're never going to get them that way. And that's why there's so much interest in all these other different directions. But believe it or not, someone will be sitting there working on that too. And if it ever goes down one direction, well, then they'll go after them, another way. But going after the pink rabbit banksters or anyone else that financed attempted genocide against the indigenous white rabbits of Europe, it's more juicy. Because there's more money involved, believe it or not. That would all come around the other way, probably. But you are right on violation of international laws. Iran is the oldest Aryan, all caps, nation. Yet you, all caps, let the religion get in the way of seeing this. Something you blame storefront not white nationalists for doing with Christianity. I don't know what you're talking about there, necessarily. I think you're talking about one of those pieces I read, but Iran is the oldest Aryan, caps, nation. Well, no. The oldest would be, that we know of, would be Babylon. And Babylon, of course, had another. It was a legacy civilization from a much older civilization that was sunk, supposedly. And this is coming down the pipeline. Also Egypt. Egypt was a legacy civilization from some similar place connected to Babylon prior to that on some level. That was sunk as well. But what's interesting about these civilizations that sunk, they were also previous legacy civilizations. So as far as oldest Aryan nation, we don't really know that. It's still a work in process. And if I don't know, you don't know. I know the directions to ask. In fact, since I'm guessing you're a Muslim, you keep on putting Aryans in all caps, so maybe you're an Iranian or something, I don't know. Let me tell you something about the Green Flag of Islam. It's not Islamic. It goes back to Babylon. The Green Flag of Islam is a flag of Venus. That's why it's green. It's a flag of the morning star. The crescent on it is, of course, the moon, and the star is for Venus. And that goes back to Babylon itself. And that would be the oldest Aryan nation in that part. But again, you're dealing with legacies upon legacies upon legacies. Now that's where it gets interesting. As far as our history, it's one big mystery, but it's still coming at us. But I did answer your question. I spent 10 minutes answering your question since you called me a name I've never been called. Suck, 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 you little Jew parasite. That's a new one for me. But that will be the last time. Now, this was White Rabbit Email Part 4. Part 4. Gringo, you need to get something to do with your time. If you don't like free MP3s, don't listen. If you listen and you spend 20 minutes writing emails, you won't be able to get your day done, especially since you don't like them. We're going to continue with these questions I got asked by email. I've been rifled with these emails, and some of them are kind of hard to respond to, but I can just take up MP3s and respond to them in between putting out other stuff. And there'll be 17 will be coming out shortly after this one. It'll be baseline humiliation techniques, and it'll be really interesting stuff. And I'm also going to talk about why our enemies hate us. I haven't forgot about talking about that. But Alex makes a couple comments. He talked about he really likes 15. 15 goes into, of course, repressive or negative conditioning. It's pretty interesting stuff, I guess, to a lot of people. But he points out something, and I forgot to mention this, but there are literally dozens of these. He talks about Castle Wolfenstein. And Alex, you were right. Castle Wolfenstein is one. I've never played it, but I know of it. It made a list, but you could really do a mini series on this stuff. One thing you did tell me about, which I think is very, very interesting, is a movie that got funded at Cannes, if what you're saying is right, it got funded at Cannes Film Festival, or did something at Cannes Film Festival, but I watched the trailer on YouTube and it's pretty interesting. It's called Iron Sky. It's about a Nazi moon base a Nazi moon base. The CGI graphics, it looks like it could be pretty cool. Now obviously it's a spoof, like you said, but you're pointing to the obvious. It's got a great song, too. Look up Iron Sky on YouTube and watch the trailer. Everyone listening to this, it looks pretty interesting. But it's a great example. This stuff doesn't end. There was a Hollywood script, too, I read part of. It was for one of those sci-fi shows. And And it was about a Nazis that had escaped the planet, a group of Nazis that escaped the planet, and they had a huge colony somewhere else. And they basically were coming in, and they came in, and they were gonna nerve gas Earth or something like that, and kill all the non-Aryans or something. It reads like something from Blood and Honor wrote the script, and maybe they should. Maybe they should apply to be script writers in Hollywood, but this stuff doesn't end. It just doesn't end. But you're right to point those out. Your question about Joseph P. Farrell and Hoagland. Well, the questions he's asking is about the NASA 2 space programs. I'm not really an expert on that, but let me give you some common sense. And what he's asking about, really, in a nutshell, is everyone listening to this, I'm assuming, has heard this, that we didn't really go to the moon, that the moon landing was a spoof. That's very common, you know, the moon's conspiracy theory. The other side of the equation, of course, is, yeah, we did go. That's obvious, you know, something went on up there and we did go. There's a third option, which is a little more interesting, that there was another space program, and that they didn't tell us everything about landing on the moon. In other words, they didn't really reveal all the technology and the physics involved. And that makes sense to me, Alex. The third option, the Hoagland and the Joseph P. Farrell option, simply because that's the one that they talk about on Russian TV. Why? Because you're dealing with, by that time you'd be dealing with a clear unified Aryan physics. And if you're dealing with a unified Aryan physics, they're not going to let that out of the bag. They're not going to tell you all about that stuff. There are military implications. There are global implications. Our enemies could get a hold of that. It's dangerous stuff. Why won't they let that out of the... Because you're not in a unified Aryan planet. And once again, we're back to the basic premise. You know, bears do not need air conditioning. They don't need to know unified Aryan physics. I'd like to know a little bit, but I know that that'll come in time. It'll be coming pretty quickly. But as far as two space programs, yeah, that's very logical. They said the same thing in the Soviet Union, too. And your premise, you know, Farrell's premise that there's another group running both of them at the same time, a united group, that's very interesting. I don't know, but that makes sense to me, because when you're talking defense, there's what you see is what you get in wide sky. That is very natural for white rabbits to do. And you're dealing with a sophisticated technology and a sophisticated physics that we didn't, that not everything that, as far as the physics involved and the actual technology involved, that they didn't lay out all the facts. Well, that'd be pretty much defense secrets and stuff like that. You know, that's normal stuff. We wouldn't want, you know, the last time we went out of in World War II, interesting enough, the Nazis were going to use television programming to create healthy white rabbit societies. You know, the Germans were starting to do some of that. Well, there's another group that got a hold of that, and they created something called modern television. And those are the pink rabbits in Hollywood. Well, let me explain something to you. After you don't exactly let them have our ideals. You certainly aren't going to start handing out a unified Aryan type physics, if that's what it is. They would have had it long before that. But on the two space, that's pretty much how things work when it comes to defense and that kind of stuff. You're on a need-to-know basis. And actually that kind of makes sense to me, because you're dealing with some pretty big implications. And bears don't need air conditioning, right? You're not going to start handing stuff like that out. China's probably not handing out stuff about their space program, but I'm sure our stuff is, we are decades and decades ahead. We just haven't seen it yet. But that's how that would work, and we don't see anything anyways. Your last question is a little more provocative, and that's the greatest conspiracy theory I've ever read about. And what you're asking me is as an American, I guess you're not American, but as an American, since you know I'm an American, Joseph P. Farrell, for the listeners, lays out something rather interesting. He lays out that if shark hunters had it right in 85, when Ronald Reagan was a member, when they first came out and said Hitler didn't die when he died, basically if the History Channel, if the Guardian's alluding to facts, that he died 15, 20 years after the fact, whatever, that diary that the shark hunters released from the agent, that if Hitler didn't die when he saw it, he died, what happened at the end of World War II? And this leaves a big question mark. And Joseph P. Farrell is interesting, not because he's a Nazi or National Socialist. He don't want anything to do with it. Not because he's a racialist. He's not. He's big in European culture, and he's a really nice guy, in my opinion. He is. He's not going to do anything bad for white rabbits, but he doesn't think racially at all, which is, you know, it's kind of typical. But what he's doing is asking some interesting questions. He's asking our question, what is true here? And he's trying to get to the truth in spite of the consequences. But let me answer your question in a roundabout way. Let's say you're at the end of World War II and you just announced to the world you killed the devil. That the devil exists and you killed him. You got the devil now. And he's gone. What happens if the devil shows up at your doorstep a few years later? And he's not only not dead, but he has some pretty advanced technology, and he's perfected what would you think of as what we will call a unified Aryan physics. And he has some pretty advanced crafts he's cruising around in. Well, what would you do? I mean, you just announced to the world you whipped the devil. Well, the first thing you pink rabbit bankers would do would be panic. You panic. You can't really go to war with them because are you going to go to war with something like that? You know, they would have way too, it's all the bag. And what he proposes that, you know, they let them get their hooks in the door. They did some kind of deal with them. The pink rabbit banksters did some deal thinking they were going to get something over on them. Well, I don't know about that, but if he didn't die, when they say he didn't, and we'll assume that the History Channel and the Guard, there's smoke there. That's obviously pretty juicy. And no, they wouldn't let that slide. And no, they wouldn't tell the world right away. They'd get their hooks into him, and then they would, they would do whatever they wanted to do because there's nothing you could do with them once they got their hooks into you. Because why? Because you've now done a deal with the devil, who doesn't exist, who you told the world exists, that you whipped. It's pretty juicy. So, as an American, would that upset me? Well, let me answer your question like this. Joseph Farrell's got another book coming out since you like him so much, and he's digging into these banksters and their connection all the way back to Babylon. Well, one of the series that I know about from another source is the Peloponnesian Wars, the wars in ancient Greece. They happened right before, it's like 40 BC or something. It's between Sparta and the Sparta League in Athens. And Sparta didn't have a private central bank. At the time, they had private central banks backed by gold. The problem is, who owns the gold? Who owns the gold mines? Well, take a guess. Conflict and scarcity. So the Peloponnesian Wars were dragged on. And this group, the Pink Rabbit Banksters, financed both sides. And then at the end, they came in and they set up a private central bank in Sparta. Sparta gave in. I've read about this episode. And it doesn't surprise me. Believe it or not, the behind-the-scenes stuff I read sounds almost like a civil war, like the Civil War in America, where they financed both sides and they come in and said they set up a central bank and stuff like that. They worked their way in. So to answer your question, if they did something clever, if they did something ingenious, if they got something over on them, and if, as they allude to, that trillions are missing and someone other than the Zionists ripped us off, which obviously they got their hands in the cookie jars in the American government, the Zionist element, Jew and Gentile alike. But if the other side got their foot in the door, if they blackmailed... if they banked the banksters, if they endgamed the endgamers, and no, I won't be upset... I'll fall on the floor laughing. That's funny stuff. After reading what this other side has done, and that's just, I don't even know a tenth of it. A tenth of the stuff they're guilty of. The actual mayhem they caused on this planet. And I don't care if you're talking about the opium wars in China. They've caused mayhem. They don't necessarily fight them, but they finance them. You know, conflict and scarcity. But after reading about the Peloponnesian incident, and after it reminded me so much of the Civil War and the stuff coming out on these guys, no. I don't believe in forgiveness, but I will forget about it. It's pretty funny stuff. No, I will fall on the ground laughing if they came back in and they put them over a barrel and blackmailed the living daylights out of them. And we'll know soon enough exactly the whole story. I'll say this again. They've done something. They've done something. If I ever go into Joseph P. Farrell again, what he lays out is one of the greatest blackmail schemes of all time. But that's what happens when you announce you've killed the devil. he doesn't really exist, and you got problems. So we'll see. I have no idea what to say about that. But as an American, if they banked the banksters, if they in-game the in-gamers, if they did what he lays out, that they came in and did something clever, like set up Roswell, then all of a sudden just cause panic. You know, next thing you know, you got all these paperclip scientists, and they got their hooks into you, and then you're just over with, because how can you announce that to the world? And they wouldn't. They'd do a deal with them, but you just did a deal with the devil. So no, it's a pretty interesting scenario. I don't know the whole truth, but I'm not a nationalist. So I don't believe in anism. I've already discussed this, but I want to know the truth behind it. They definitely, someone knows a whole lot about white rabbits out there. But in my opinion, I will fall on the floor laughing as American. I don't care if they got a couple, whatever they got out of this. If it's good for white rabbits, I will laugh, especially knowing what I know now about the other side of the equation and what they've done to my race and everything else on this planet, and there's no respect for anything. I will laugh. I will fall on the ground laughing if they hammered them in the way that he lays out. It's just, it would be funny. And your last question, since we're talking about Nazi moon bases, what do I think about all this stuff being fired into the moon? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they ripped off $30 billion from the government and put up some fake Nazi moon base up there to drive them wild every night. I don't know. It's funny. It's funny stuff. But they appear to be one step ahead of them every step of the way if you read Farrell's stuff. But don't assume Farrell's some national socialist. He's anything but. He is a European nationalist by and large, and he seems like a very, very nice guy, and he's asking our question in a unique European way. Hoagland is upset that they didn't give all this high technology away to the world. Well, what would happen would be the pink rabbits would get a hold of it, and the pink rabbits would use it to kill us. No, the pink rabbits, what's funny is what Farrell is saying, Alex, and for the rest of us, is that the pink rabbits will lose because they invested in the wrong physics. And the pink rabbits invested in what we'll call pink rabbit physics. And the problem with pink rabbit physics against unified Aryan physics is it doesn't match up. Why? Because they're not unified Aryans. And that's what's interesting. That's what's funny. And so they wouldn't let that out, and I don't blame them for that. I'm just interested in knowing the whole truth. But it is one of the. It will end up being the mother of all conspiracy theories. And but again, peas in a pod aren't going to have to conspire. But it's kind of funny. And we could talk about it all day long. If I ever do another one, maybe I'll go into that. You guys can look up Joseph P. Farrell. You can listen to him, and you can read his books. They're not expensive, and it's entertaining stuff. And of course, there are some not nice sides on the Nazi side. I'm not by any means saying they're all wonderful, but when you read about the pink rabbit banksters and what they've done to my race and every other thing they get their hooks into, no, I will laugh. I will fall on the ground laughing. You know, the wise men used to say, you know, or as we listen to some of these, you've always had in America, Alex, you've always had these lone wolfer types that make these MP3s, and some of them are very good, some of them are very funny, and they say By Any Means Necessary, and By Any Means Necessary was made famous by Malcolm X, and he had a book, and he had an AK-47 on the front cover. Well, By Any Means Necessary doesn't come from him, though. Most of the Lewis Beam types think it came from him. It did not. It came from Sartre. And what the wise men would say would be, Horace, they say By Any Means Necessary, but I bet not one out of ten actually fully understands the implications of what they mean. You see, when they say it, they think only in terms of shooting a mortar round, but By Any Means Necessary has broad implications. So this should be pretty interesting. But yeah, we'll see. They keep on firing stuff into the moon, so who knows? Yeah, they're firing missiles into the moon, and people are, the conspiracy theorists will go wild over it. You know, I don't know what to tell you about that. I could talk about it, but it's fascinating stuff to white rabbits because it's intriguing. And it's basically the stuff going when it comes to conspiracy / theorists. I mean, Joseph P. Farrell's in big demand, but he's by no means a national socialist or a racialist at all. In fact, he'd probably die if someone like me was pushing his books. But he asks a question. He asks a question, a white rabbit question. What is true here? And if you ask that question, it doesn't matter that you're not racially inclined. I know he's not going to do anything to hurt white rabbits. He's asking the question, what is true here? And find anyone to ask that question in a unique way and really get the attention he's got from certain parties, well, I'm going to read. It's not, you know, $10 books. Take it for what it's worth. But he would die if he knew someone like me was pushing that, because, you know, he, again, he's a different, he's not like Hoagland. He's not totally oblivious to the European cultures, but he's more like, we'll call him a culturalist, you know. It's not racist culture, that type of thing. But at the same time, he knows deep down inside it is. So, I, you know, like I said, our people do not think racially, but I understand White Rabbits. His, you know, but his books are interesting, and we'll leave it at that. And hopefully that answers your question. I got asked two contradictory questions, but I'll use it to make a point. I was asked, one, why I'm so happy, and two, why I'm so hateful. With a lot of other stuff. And the short answer is because I'm a happy hater. When you know how to hate, you'll be happy. Yeah, I don't hate anyone. Don't start thinking I hate someone for some capitalism or Judaism or liberalism or conservatism or even journalism. No, I don't hate for those reasons. If you look like me and you have power, well, you're screwing things up. I have a tendency to hate. But I don't hate over is or isms. And that's how you hate. I don't hate Mexicans, I don't hate Muslims, because I know that someone that looks like me, without any loyalty to me, let them in. I don't waste my energy hating them, because they don't have any power. They have power given. I don't waste my time. So that's why I'm so happy. I'm a happy hater. If you know how to hate, you'll be a happy hater too. The hating for some superficial reason, because some black rabbit's agitating you. No, it's because some white rabbit that looks like you, that has no loyalty to you, is in power, and or put them in power over you, and that's the one you hate. And concentrate your energy at the top. Yeah, hate Obama? No, I don't have time to hate Obama. Obama makes the game interesting. I hate those that look like me, that have no loyalty to me, that wanted him in power. That's how you hate. You don't hate for is or isms. You hate for moral reasons. And you don't hate, Chinese, Africans. No, that's a waste of hate. Hate is precious. You don't waste hate on things with no power over you. You know, you got to direct the energy flow. So I thought those were pretty funny questions, and I don't think that's a typical answer, because most of you don't know how to hate. And if you love, well, you should love close to home. You should love those that look like you, that have loyalty to you, that deserve it. Forget about friends and family, those that deserve it. And oh, this is the catch-22. Most of you won't like this. Most of you have never heard this, but this will make sense to you in your little white rabbit heads. You never blend the two. You don't ever blend love, and you don't ever blend hate. So if you're a hate, you gotta be a happy hater. If you're a lover, you gotta be a happy lover. Because you won't blend. No, you never blend anything. Anything you blend, you destroy on a cosmic level. Believe it, it's true. And you'll attach bad things in your life. You'll give off mixed messages. Yeah, there's no blending. So if you hate, if you're one of the handful of gifted haters, believe me, the white rabbits need you. You hate correctly, and if you love and you love correctly, well, you'll be a happy lover and a happy hater. Because you won't send out mixed messages, and there's no fear in that. You see, there's some groups on this planet that hate upside down. Yeah, they hate those that have no loyalty to them, because no loyalty to them is no loyalty to their God. Well, that's backwards. That's very weird. They taught another group that did the little African and America rabbits, these black rabbits, a whole section of them. They hate upside down. You know, they're running around looking for, they're like Abe Foxman, but in another direction. They're running around looking for all the evil racists underneath this rug, and double top secret racism here, and they hate white people for all these, hate white rabbits for all these weird reasons. If you hate like that, if you hate upside down, it will destroy you. If you hate upside down, you will be destroyed. So don't hate backwards, and don't hate incorrectly. Hate correctly. Probably never been told that before. And don't blend the two. Whichever one you're good at, go with, and don't blend the two. and you'll be amazed at how much your life straightens out. Why white rabbits generally don't like blending things, period. So this should make sense to you. But that doesn't mean you have to hate your little white rabbit babies. You just have to hate them less than the other ones. That's the discipline. If you can't hold to that discipline, go to a different game. Go and be a lover. But there you go. And you've never been told that before. So why am I a hater? Because I'm a happy hater. But don't think I hate for is or isms. If you look like me and have no loyalty to me, I label them pink rabbits. I'm very simple. It's very consistent. We must always try to achieve some consistency in our thinking, right? So when it comes to hate and when it comes to love and not mixing, we want to try to achieve some consistency in our thinking. The more consistent you become in your thinking, the more you'll be happy. It doesn't matter whether it's love or hate because there's no fear based in that. You see, when you start getting into the African and American rabbits, their hate is very fear-based. When you start getting into, like, Abe Foxman, I know how to hate. We Jews know how to hate. Well, no, he doesn't. He's upside down. You know, Henry Kissinger said any group that's been persecuted for 2,000 years is doing something wrong. And they came out and they went wild on Henry Kissinger for that. But they hate backwards. Their hate is killing them. If you hate like that, it will kill you. Watch. But I'm a happy hater. And again, there's no fear in that. A lot of you have seen these environmentalists, and these environmentalists love Mother Earth, but there's so much fear in them. There's so much fear in these people. And so that's a general problem. That's a little cosmic lesson from Horus. Why am I a happy hater, or why am I happy, and why do I hate? Well, because I'm a happy hater, but I don't hate for the reasons you think. So let's use our noodle. And I'll say one last thing before I go into the last part about Il Duce, and I answer the last question. And the next one is going to be a pretty interesting episode because I'm going to up the ante a little bit on you guys and teach you guys something new in practical politics, and it's going to be very, very important. But everything you've heard will lay some of the groundwork, and hopefully you've been those handful have been somewhat entertained, because that's all I need is a handful. Handful of few good rabbits, few good white rabbits. I overheard Mr. Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, the old one, the old one that's that's pretty sinister. He's a pink rabbit. He said that this world was dying. Well, he's right. You don't know how right he is, but what he didn't tell you is that the pink rabbit world is dying. The white rabbit world is just starting the birthing process. We've been in a birthing process since 1685. It accelerated in 1950. It is now going to accelerate, but a birthing process isn't necessarily nice. When a giant batch of white rabbits get born, it's not necessarily a pretty event. It can go easy, it can be a difficult birth, or it can be somewhere in between. But a white rabbit world is being born right now. It is. You can be a part of that. His world, the world of the pink rabbits, the world of disease, the world of decay, the world of materialism is dying. It is dying all around you. Believe me. And everything will go with it. Because this wave is going to wash everything away. So hate and be happy, or love and be happy. And in a second I'll come back with Il Duce. I got asked a question about Il Duce, and so I'm going to read a brief piece, and what I mean by Il Duce, and I'll read this to you. Several times here I've discussed the fact that Mussolini almost missed the March on Rome that put him into power. He made a speech, probably not for the first time, that Italian people should march on Rome and force a government that would govern. As I say, he had probably said that 100 times, but this time it hit a note. And while Mussolini went about his routine, the march was building up and being organized. He found out about it the last minute and rushed to lead it. I'm reminded of 1992 when Larry King asked Ross Perot if he would be willing to run for presidency, and Ross Perot said yes. Within days, Perot had spontaneous national campaign organization, and within a couple weeks he was way ahead in a three-way poll. These are extreme examples. But a thinking person should see the importance of them. If the actual leaders have no idea what the unrest is like, if they come with a view of taking power without even feeling the waves, how about the rest of us, especially the so-called experts? I discussed the fact that the USSR was going down, as the USSR was going down, cartoons depicted Estonians and Ukrainians demanding independence as drunks in Confederate uniforms. Within days of that barrage of cartoons, they began to pull out en masse.
These are giant examples. They have all been carefully forgotten, but they are endless smaller examples. But there are endless smaller examples. I have agreed with liberals that if Obama had been white, it would have been a landslide. Bush left us both a financial crisis as big as any since 1929 and an unsinkable endless war with no exit strategy. Each of those things took out a historical president who went from a landslide win to a landslide loss, Hoover and Johnson. Both of them combined got Obama a respectable victory. There has been talk about tea parties, but you have no idea what's going on unless you see the world as I, and I hope we do. Once again, let me repeat what I've said many times. Respectable conservatives have always been conservative respectable. And respectable conservatives, you are saying that these are conservatives who are respectable. They've got their priorities backwards. Their first and only real loyalty has been to respectability. The National Review has always made it clear that they are part of the establishment first and that they will ditch anybody who really offends liberals. They are first and foremost respectable, and any disagreement with political correctness is way down on the list. What shocked the bejesus out of liberals was that a huge groundswell of those lamb-like respectables suddenly became blatantly unrespectable, shouting, threatening, violently cowing their opponents, the way only leftists have been allowed to do. Every issue of National Review contains at least one apology for it. He's talking about the Tea Party behavior. No one can analyze, or the Town Hall behavior and stuff like that. No one can analyze this unless he looks at examples of the March on Rome, Perot's lead for presidency, which only a psycho could have screwed up, and the world press's laughter at the ideal Soviet republics would succeed. Il Duce nearly missed the march on Rome that put him into power. Il Duce was not voted into power. There was a mini coup, and Mussolini's National Fascist Party came to power. There was a Prime Minister, Luigi Facta, and the march took place in 1922, sometime between October 27th and 29. On October 28th, the King Victor Emmanuel III basically refused to support Luigi Facta and handed power to Mussolini. Yeah, there was no voting, or I guess the King voted. Mussolini was supported by the military, the business class, and the liberal right wing. That's according to Wiki, which is basically factual. There was no voting, he just got thrown in. So when I say Il Duce, it was just that, Il Duce. And you know what's funny about October and Novembers, late October, early Novembers, they don't tend to be good for stock markets, but they tend to be pretty good for fascists for some reason. Pretty good for real conservatives, too, for some reason, many times. Should be interesting. Instead of Il Duce, how about Il Duque? Yeah, put in David Duke or something. But that's what I mean by Il Duce. I mean, someone gets thrown in like Il Duce. You end up like Ross Perot, and Ross Perot would easily won like the man said, had he not screwed it up. And he screwed it up because he's weird. He's a nutball. But you can Il Duce stuff at times like you're coming into. And several different groups know that. It's kind of common sense. That's how history has worked. And that is, of course, you know, practical politics on some level. But this is the end of this session of question and answer, and it's kind of a transition session, transition piece. Some of you may have found some of the topics interesting, but I'm basically answering questions in my own way. In the next piece, I'm going to go into something that maybe you've never heard about. Baseline humiliation tactics. Baseline humiliation tactics. How to humiliate opponents. I'm going to give you several different ideals. And we're going to come back to this topic, but I'm going to introduce a new phase. I'm going to up the ante a little bit, as they say. Increase the odds. Try to introduce you some new topics, practical politics, since I'm going to be talking to you more than I first thought. This is another end of Follow the White Rapids. This is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Follow the White Rabbit, again, is a game that will teach you practical politics. Practical politics is practical because it is non-voting. which makes it very, very practical. Conventional politics is voting politics or rule-based politics. And the ultimate, of course, is full-spectrum practical politics, engaging and taking down an opponent, a system, by any means necessary, within the rules, within the law, but never breaking them. And this is the end of another episode of Follow the White Rabbit. Thank you for listening.